Good evening. Shana Tova. Listen to an interesting analogy, if you will, by Pastor David Rhodes. Now, I'm not a fan of the dandelion. I have to be careful because the Greeks brought them over. But here's what he said, and those of you who have had to deal with them know exactly where he's coming from. Pride, he says, is the dandelion of the soul. Its root goes deep. Only a little left behind sprouts again. Its seeds lodge in the tiniest encouraging cracks, and it flourishes in good soil. The danger of pride is that it feeds on goodness. And perhaps no parable better illustrates this as that which Yeshua taught concerning the Pharisee and the tax collector. So I invite you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 18, if you have it with you. And I will begin reading at verse 10. Luke 18, beginning at verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself: God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Boy, talk about a contrast. You couldn't ask for two more different types in first century Israel. On the one hand, we have a Pharisee, an ultra-Orthodox, devoutly religious Jewish man. And on the other, a tax collector, a secular, materialist Jewish man who confiscated money from fellow Jews to pay to Caesar. The one considered patriotic and pious, the other considered godless and a traitor. But let's talk about that Pharisee. The word Pharisee is from the Hebrew word parash, separate or distinct. This group of religious leaders and teachers were known for their piety. And because of that, they were highly esteemed by some and really resented by others. We tend to view Pharisees rather one-dimensionally through the lens of the New Covenant writers. After all, Messiah had harsh criticism for the hypocrites among them. But it would be a mistake to think that all Pharisees were bad. But there's no question about the attitude of this one. He was glad he wasn't like other people, glad to be a separated one. Let's consider the content of his prayer. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. What did he mean by that? He meant, I'm better than other people. And he goes on to list certain types of persons he regards as beneath him: swindlers, unjust, adulterers. You can almost hear him saying something like this: I don't cheat in my business. I don't discriminate against people. I've never cheated on my wife. I mean, those are the things he doesn't do. And we should actually be glad and agree that it's good that he doesn't do such kinds of things. Then he notices who's standing just a short distance away, and he adds this, or even like this tax collector. The loathsome tax collector represented everything that the Pharisee hated: greed, selfish ambition, indifference to the plight of his own people, disloyalty. And I tell you that few people were as hated in first century Israel as tax collectors. If you want a modern day comparison, think about how you felt about Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, the army deserter and Islamist sympathizer who walked away from his post during his shift, leaving his fellow soldiers unguarded while they slept, I should add, and surrendered himself to Taliban forces in Afghanistan. I know how angry I was when I found out that we exchanged 5 high-ranking terrorist captives for this one traitor. And so the tax collector in his day capped the list of everything that a Pharisee like this would have been glad not to be. But then the Pharisee went on to list positive things that he did do. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. Well, can I just be honest? He already had me beat at the fasting thing. I don't fast much at all. In fact, I wonder why it's called a fast when it goes so slow. And, you know, let's be honest, he was probably more faithful and deliberate in his giving than most people. But what was he really saying? I deserve to have God's approval. I've earned it. And that's precisely the problem with his thinking. But now let's consider the tax collector. Yeshua says, but the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. In contrast to the Pharisee, who felt comfortable in the familiar courts of the Beit HaMikdash, the tax collector was obviously uncomfortable, even distressed. And you know why? It's because he wasn't comparing himself with other people. In the presence of the holy and just God, he was confronted with his own moral failure, his sinfulness. And you know what? His response was appropriate. A response very much like that of the prophet Isaiah, who himself cried out when he beheld Adonai, saying, woe is me, I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I think if we were to be really honest with ourselves and with the Lord, we would be inclined to do and say the very same thing. God, please have mercy on me, the sinner. But too often we fall into the trap of comparing our achievements with those of others, and the tandem pitfall of assessing our worth on the basis of personal achievement, instead of understanding that our innate worth comes from being in a new covenant relationship with the Creator through Yeshua, his Messiah. Nothing good ever comes of measuring yourself against others. First of all, your moral diagnostic tool, as it were, is intrinsically miscalibrated, fatally flawed from the moment that Adam and Eve rebelled in the Garden of Eden. Or to put it this way, you and I have a broken good-o-meter. Secondly, it's God himself, not that guy over there or that woman over there, who is the standard for goodness, for righteousness. Can I be honest? We are likely to be overgenerous with ourselves in terms of our self-assessment whenever we look to any earthly standard for comparison. And that doesn't lead to repentance. Finally, when you compare yourself to other people, inevitably, you're going to resent some whom you see as doing better than you, and that's not good. And you're going to disdain others whom you see as doing worse than you. Think about every time we recite Avinu Malkeinu. Do we really mean it when we say, Chonenu va'anenu ki ein banu ma'asim? Be gracious to us and answer us, for we have no merits. Or deep down, are we keeping a running list of the good things we do, hoping that they'll outweigh the bad, and against which we gauge or compare ourselves with others? The bad news, which is an integral part of the good news, is this. We are sinful, and we have no righteousness of our own. Our tzedakah, our good deeds, they don't come close to measuring up. And unless you fancy yourself more righteous than righteous prophet Isaiah, you don't stand a chance of surviving in God's presence on the basis of your own alleged goodness. That's uncomfortable to hear, I know. But it's the truth. What we need to learn from this parable, particularly on Yom Kippur, is that we come to God with an appeal, not an invoice. Let me say that again. We come to God with an appeal, not an invoice. We need His mercy because we have no merit. Well, listen to what Yeshua said in conclusion. I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. The scary truth is that even honest businessmen and faithful husbands can be far from the kingdom. This Pharisee wasn't a thief, a swindler, an adulterer, and he faithfully tithed and regularly fasted, and yet Yeshua said he left the temple still in his sin. Why? Because he was trusting in his own accomplishments. He felt that God owed him something for all the good works he had done and all the sins from which he had refrained. The key difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector is one of attitude. The one came before Adonai in pride, the other in humility. The one felt he'd earned justification, the other felt hopelessly indebted and unable to pay and pleaded for mercy. The thing that's unnerving about this parable is how we think it's for someone else. How quick we are to see the obvious pride in the heart of the Pharisee and how slow to see it in ourselves. I tell you, I've come dangerously close to saying, Dear God, I thank you that I am not like that Pharisee. Oops. And so Peter, the great emissary of Messiah Yeshua, wrote this, All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Pali, this bull has killed me, so said Jose Cubero, one of Spain's most brilliant matadors, before he lost consciousness and died. Only 21 years old, he had already catapulted to a spectacular career, considered one of the greatest bullfighters ever. However, in this 1985 bullfight, Jose made a tragic mistake. He thrust his sword a final time into a bleeding, delirious bull, which then collapsed. Considering the struggle finished, Jose turned to the crowd to acknowledge the applause. The bull, however, was not dead. It quickly rose and lunged at the unsuspecting matador, its horn piercing his back and puncturing his heart. recalling this story, Christian author Craig Brian Larson had this to say, and with this I'll close. Just when we think we've finished off pride, just when we turn to accept the congratulations of the crowd, pride stabs us in the back. We should never consider pride dead until we are. May God give us the grace to humble ourselves, not only during Yom Kippur, not only in the year 5775, but for the balance of our lives on this earth.